Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Roland Martin, today on News One Now, President Barack Obama sits down and takes questions from celebrities on YouTube. One of them deals with police violence, just as another video is released of a black man being shot 9 times by a cop as his hands are up. The cop this time is black. The family of Kendrick Johnson, they are advocating for a new law requiring all coroners to have proper credentials. We will talk to them about it. Also, we got two phenomenal entertainers in the house. First up, Uncle Charlie Wilson is here. And my frat brother, Gerald Albright, also here as well. And he's going to play a little something for us. Folks, time to bring the funk on News One Now right here on TV One. Well, quite an unconventional interview yesterday. President Barack Obama sat down with three celebrities who were on YouTube. They each got to ask him a variety of questions. White House press corps not too particularly happy with that. But he got some pretty interesting questions and some good questions. And one of them came from Glozell Green from Glozell.com. She asked the president about police brutality. And here's what he had to say.
Well, I passed a racial profiling bill. It essentially said, how are we going to tackle this problem? Let's make sure we're keeping track of the race of everybody that was being stopped. And just by the small fix of keeping track, suddenly each cop, when they were about to make a traffic stop, they had to think, okay, am I stopping this person because I should be stopping them, or is some bias at work? And just that kind of mindfulness about it ended up resulting in better data, better policing, more trust by the communities that are affected.
Now, of course, while the president made that particular comment, social media has been blowing up with the revelation of another videotape, this time in New Jersey, of a man who was shot and killed by police officers. Go ahead and play that videotape. Two newspapers, actually, they sought the release of this through the Freedom of Information Act. And what it shows is police officers pulling a gentleman over, both have their hands up, and at some point you're going to see the passenger on the right side. Get out. So turn the audio up, please.
Show me your hands. Don't you move. Don't you move. I'm telling you, I'm going to shoot you. You're going to be dead. I'm telling you. You reach for something, you're going to be dead. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Keep your hands right there. You, hey, Jerome, you reach for something, you're going to be dead. He's reaching. Show me your hands. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. Don't move. Don't.
Again, looking at that particular video there, what you see is you see the police officer saying, don't move, but he gets out of the car, has his hands up all whole time, and the officer shoots and killed him. I want to go to our panel, George Jefferson Newry. She's the founder and CEO of In the Public Eye Communications, Raynard Jackson, a Republican political consultant and strategist. Also, Drew Elons, a political and lifestyle blogger as well. And so, so here you have the president. He was asked the question by Glozell, and I actually was watching some of that. And what she phrased it first off by saying that she cut off the hoods on all of her husband's hoodies because she didn't want him to be seen as a threat. And she said her husband was ticked off by that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what set up her question. When you see this particular tape here, you see this interaction. I'm sure critics will say, well, the officer said don't move at all. But you see the guy literally getting out of the car with his hands up. Officer still fires 9 times. Well, what do you make of what you just saw?
You know, obviously a hoodie had nothing to do with this.
Right, right.
So how he was dressed had nothing to do with this. I think it was really interesting that the cop knew his name, which hasn't been explained to me yet. The other part is the man, you hear the cop talking about don't move, don't move. You also hear the cop on the other side say, get him out of the car. Then he says, in the car, I have no reason to reach for anything, man. I have no reason to reach for anything, man. Calm down, calm down. And he attempts to get out of the car. Clearly, his hands are up. There is something that goes on with police officers who devalue our lives because they're the police and we're not.
So let's do this here, okay? I want you to play the videotape again. I want you to turn the audio up.
Get up on the car.
Don't you move. Get him out the car, Raj. We got a gun in this glove compartment. Don't you
up to move. It.
Don't you move. Show me your hands. Show me your hands. Don't you move. Don't you move. I'm telling you, I'm going to shoot you. You're going to be dead. I'm telling you. You reach for something, you're going to be dead. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Keep your hands right there. You, hey, Jerome, you reach for something, you're gonna be dead. He's reaching. Show me your hands. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. Don't move.
So there was a weapon in the car, but apparently one of the officers, I mean, they were able to get the weapon.
Right.
So you're trying to figure out here again, he's pressing against the car, don't move, don't reach, and they're saying, I'm not reaching. You see literally both hands out the windows.
Right. Go ahead.
This is a tough one for me. I mean, you want to give the police the benefit of the doubt normally, but in light of all the things we've been saying over the past couple of years, it's hard to give them the benefit of the doubt. But also, if the police is saying, don't move, don't reach for it, and now you're saying we found a gun, the police can make a credible case that he felt threatened.
The officer reached into the car and removed the gun.
After the fact?
No.
During that, the officer reached
into the car and removed a silver handgun.
This is a tough one.
For me, one, I went back a little bit. Why were they pulled over and why were they so aggressive? Because they were pulled over. It does not matter if the cop or the police officer is black, white. There's this blue code, this blue shield. It doesn't matter the color of the cop. They automatically have a view of black males or black people as being a threat. And throughout this whole interaction we just saw there.
Right.
My issue was it was as if it escalated so quickly. So was it just a regular traffic stop, and you went to that point?
So it was 2 minutes in this area. It's a mostly minority city of about 25,000 people. It's Bridgeton. Jerame Reed was a man who was killed. Officers are Brahim Days and Roger Worley.
Right.
Now Reed, according to this story, spent 13 years in prison for shooting at 3 state troopers when he was a teenager.
Yes.
He's 36 now.
36 years old now, has a wife. Now, what you're still dealing with here is, on one hand, they're saying, don't move, don't move, don't reach. And he's sitting here saying, and you see the cop pushing against the car. So we're going to pick up this as we come back, folks. Got to go to a break right now.
Right.
And again, this is another story that's picking up steam. The people are asking questions. Why was he shot? Why was he killed? Was that sort of aggressive action needed by the police? We'll discuss when we come back as well. Also, Kendrick Johnson's family, they are still bothered 2 years after his death, and no one has been arrested. They also seeking a change in state law when it comes to how coroners are credentialed. Also on the show, Uncle Charlie, Charlie Wilson, will be in the house discussing his new album, Forever Charlie, and Gerald Albright here discussing his new album as well. It is 8 after the hour. This is News 1 Now on TV.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Welcome back to News One Now right here on TV One. Drew, to answer your question, the police officers, Brahim Days and Roger Worley pulled over Leroy Tuck and Jerome Reed for running through a stop sign.
Okay.
So when they were being questioning, all of a sudden Days says, quote, we've got a gun in his glove compartment. Now, we don't know if the glove compartment was open, if he actually saw the gun. And then all of a sudden he says, show me your effing hands. And then he says he's reaching for something. But then you're seeing the video as well. But Raynard, you had a point here as well that you wanted to make.
Yeah, we got to add some context, and you had the policeman on the driver's side, the white policeman, barking out some orders to people in the car. You have the policeman on the passenger side barking out some orders. It reminds me of that little kid when your mom or dad would say, boy, do this. And your mom say, stay there. Dad say, do it. And so you don't know what this is. So you got all this going on in real time.
And a gun at your forehead. Yeah.
Go ahead, Dre. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, for me, it even if you pass the stop sign, I don't know. So in that video, did you go straight to the car with guns pulled? Was there automatic assumption? Did he know that that Reed was already in the car? So Days felt like we need to go to the car with the gun. So again, it goes back to the racial profiling, or these are two black men in a nice car. So we're going to go to the car. They ran a stop sign, but just because there's a traffic one, I'm going to pull a gun on them.
And to that point, actually do this here, folks. Re-rack this video. Start it over. Okay, so we see, so follow me. So we see the dash cam pulling up.
Yes.
And then they're getting out of the car. Then all of a sudden we see an edit, if you will.
Yes.
Okay, now, to your point,
right?
This is what we're trying to figure out. Okay. And that is, and again, to Raynard's point, I totally understand. If a cop is yelling at me, don't move, I ain't moving.
Right.
I'm not getting out of the car. Right. Even with my hands up, I'm not moving. But it also asks, all right, you are approaching these two guys. They're driving the Jaguar. Okay, you're approaching, guns drawn.
Yes.
Right.
They ran through a stop sign.
Why, exactly. Why guns drawn?
So I'm curious to know.
It's nighttime.
Well, it's a Jaguar, so I think the policeman knew the car, and they assumed they knew who the driver
was. Do we have the whole video? Yeah.
Unedited part.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, how did this thing escalate? How did this thing get to that point where...
Because was it 20 minutes between the...
Shelly, go to my iPad. Bring the volume all the way down. Bring the volume all the way down. Okay, so this is the actual video from another website as they are approaching the car. And so I'm actually... again, this is the dash cam video. Mm-hmm. The two newspapers got through the Freedom of Information request. You're still speaking to this issue of police conversations, how they are communicating with folks. So you see the officer on the right side, you see him approaching,
he's
looking in. And the only reason, folks, I have the audio down because on this particular link, I believe you can actually hear the language.
Okay.
So clearly something happened here where the officer clearly is talking to them. And all of a sudden, boom, gun comes out.
He might have asked for ID, and he opened the glove box, and there was a gun in it.
But so, his hands are, okay. All right. So.
Yeah, but what I want everyone to understand is, it's easy for us to have this calm conversation, but when I listen to
absolutely.
That, it's a lot of confusion going on.
No, I agree. Right, I agree.
And he went to the car, hands on glove. So this gives me a better sense. He recognized Reed in the car. That is my assumption. I have to hear everything.
And to your point earlier, here's the deal. If you're the officer and you know Reed.
You know Reed.
And you know the history. And
yes.
You know that as a kid, he shot at three state troopers.
20 years ago.
Right. And then there was a recent arrest that Days was actually involved with him around drug possession, et cetera.
And so boom, you just saw him. He says, I'm getting out of the car, has his hands up. And he still fires.
Yeah, but the standard is going to be, was the officer in reasonable fear of his life?
You know what? The reason that's changed, because we're at the point now. Point now where literally, and Shelly, you can go to the two box, please. We're at the point now where literally, when it comes to this, officer shoots. That's what it is.
Right.
I mean,
it's just because
the case of Powell in St. Louis, the disturbed young
12
man.
12 seconds.
I mean, a butter knife.
Right.
No, it was 60. I'm tying it from the door, moment the door opened
to the time they shot him.
Right.
And was yelling, effing shoot me.
He's
right now,
crazy.
This
He's
is not
crazy.
A stable person.
Right.
And he
right.
literally
he wants
takes
to be
a step.
Yeah.
Right.
And, which was really what you gonna do?
Right.
Boom.
Right.
Yes.
Well, let's take the picture back. Let's do a Google map look at this. We all know that there has been a communications campaign from the beginning of time that has demonized and made black men look like brutes. And that we accept as a society, maybe not us as individuals, but we accept as a society that black men's life, I hate to fall into the cliche of it, don't really matter because they're animals. And
well,
you must
we
be fearful.
To perpetuate
you
that, though, and in our rap
dare,
music and
exactly.
things like that.
Well, I don't even know that. I think that we dare to perpetuate it by letting police officers who shoot you without impunity walk down, keeping their jobs and walking right. down the street. I think we dare to support it when, like, Gayle King on CBS yesterday, when she saw this video, it came out of the video, and she says, well, when the police officer tells you not, you know, like, the police officer had a right to shoot him because he got out of the car. He
Drew.
Disobeyed the cop.
Right. Drew.
No, the problem is, I do not subscribe to the whole gangster rap, et cetera, and this perpetuation that we do to ourselves only. My other issue is that when you have a white male, I mean, if you think about the Bonnie and Clyde, the two kids that just went, the teenagers that just went around, they got this love story, Bonnie and Clyde, nice little version of what they were,
gotcha.
But they were criminals. And when you have it reversed, when it's a black male, they're not only that, it's been superhuman. They've been demonized as being superhuman brutes since slavery.
Well, look,
right.
Not just about that. And look, I understand the concern. And I get your whole point with all the back and forth. But there is a reality that somebody is holding a gun to your head.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And literally, I mean, if I'm in a situation, I'm a statue. I'm a statue. And I'm literally saying, tell me when I can even just turn my head. Because here's why. Because we have given cops so much leeway.
Yes.
Where literally, even if you make a slight turn.
You're shot.
Right.
And that's to the point we're at. And so I believe the attorney for the family, Walter Hudson, he said the video speaks for itself, but at no point was Jerome Reed a threat. He possessed no weapon on this person. Actually, that's Walter Hudson of the Civil Rights Group, the National Awareness Alliance.
Right.
But I think what was going to happen is investigation. They're going to sit here and say, you disobeyed the cop's orders. Cops said, don't move. Don't
so
get out of the car.
That's the same training
dead.
We
He'd already told you're going to be dead. Yeah, but for me, the point is, it didn't seem like even if he was still, that things were going
gotcha.
To de-escalate.
Right. Gotcha. All right, folks. Look, I certainly appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Reynard, Drew, thank you very much.
Thank
folks,
you.
During the justice, Kendra Johnson's family, they want to see a new law passed that affects coroners and how they have their credentials. Also on the show, Uncle Charlie Wilson is here. Plus, Gerald Albright's also on the show. Folks, this is a packed show. We're going to have a little fun. News One Now.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
2 years ago, Kendrick Johnson's body was found in a gymnasium rolled up in a mat at his high school in Valdosta, Georgia. His death was ruled an accident, but the family suspects foul play was at play, and they filed a $100 million lawsuit against the county and the school district. Earlier this week, I sat down with his parents, Kenneth and Jackie Johnson, local community activist Marcus Coleman, and attorney Ben Crump, to talk about the case and also the efforts that they are trying to seek to make sure that coroners in various cases have the proper credentials to make the proper judgments. Here's our conversation.
They didn't do nothing right with the investigation from day one.
When you look at this particular case, when you look at the interviews, I mean, you had to fight to even get the videotapes released of the gymnasium. You would think that school officials and also law enforcement officials would want all the information available to determine exactly what happened.
Especially when you have a child inside of a school, they should want to tell the parents exactly what happened to their child. Because how can we go on with our lives and we can't even tell our other kids exactly what happened to their brother?
We've seen lots of folks in that community and around the country as well rally for this family, rally to get more information. Are you still surprised that folks there continue to assert that everything was fine, that he was simply falling into a mat, which is hard to believe that if there's a shoe at the bottom of a mat, you wouldn't just knock the mat over to get the shoe. You would jump inside of a mat to get a shoe at the bottom.
Right. I mean, it plays on the intelligence of any a person of sane mind and body.
Listen, there's a whole movement going on across the nation, the whole Black Lives Matter movement, and I know that's geared mostly towards law enforcement for the killings of law enforcement, but we feel that Kendrick Johnson needs to be involved in that same conversation as Eric Gardner, Tamir Rice, Mike Brown, for the simple reason that the botched investigation, the reason of his cause of death that is confirmed by the sheriff's department is a clear indication that Black lives do not matter in Valdosta.
Ben Crump, let's talk about that in terms of that investigation. You and the family are pushing a particular law, when a law enacted that specifically deals with these type of investigations.
Absolutely, Roland. We want to try to turn something negative into something positive to give him a fitting legacy, and we call it Kendrick's Law. And what it is the coroner in most states, not just Georgia, but around America, only has to have a GD and win a popular election, and they get to determine the manner and cause of death. So we have started working with the National Association of Medical Examiners, who also want the qualifications to be more sufficient for the person making such an important determination, to say that coroners have to have medical backgrounds, and they want to name this and Kendrick's name.
And for folks who don't understand, that coroner's ruling plays a critical role when it comes to these cases, how DAs treat them, how grand jury treats them, but also how civil juries treat them.
Absolutely, because the coroner, they see them as an impartial person who they just think have the right medical credentials to make such an important decision. But many times these people, Roland, have high school diplomas, won the election, and they work real close with the police. And whatever the police say, they kind of rubber stamp it. And it's just wrong, because if they say it's not a homicide, if it's a suicide or something like in this say, where they say he did it himself, it stops. The prosecutor doesn't do anything else. Nobody does anything else and say, well, we're sorry, your son is gone, and we move on to the next thing.
You also filed a wrongful death lawsuit.
We did. And that wrongful death lawsuit was for $100 million because we believe the school officials, the sheriff officials, and also people who the U.S. Attorney's Office has targeted for the death of Kendrick in their investigation, namely saying that there's some conspiracy and collusion to deceive this family from knowing the truth.
Speaking of that, in terms of the truth, what has been the reaction, the relationship in terms of information from the school district? Have they communicated with you? Have they talked to you? Anything along those lines?
No, they haven't said one word to us. They make sure nobody.
In 2 years.
No.
And the video rolling in that school gymnasium surveillance, it captures everything else except the allegation of Kendrick climbing into the wrestling mat. If it shows everything else, why wouldn't it show him getting into the wrestling mat, like you said? It shows the young lady's discovering his body.
Now, is that what is most bothersome? Is that when you begin to look at that, when you begin to say, now, how can you have that many cameras in a school, capture this much data, but the one piece of data it does not capture is actually the video of Kendrick in that particular gymnasium supposedly climbing into a wrestling mat?
Yes. When Kendrick going across the floor, he just disappeared. But you can see a lot of other people's, when they discover his body, like Ben said, you can see them running around in that area of the mat. So how can Kendrick get halfway across the floor and it cuts off? That's just one of the most ridiculous things I ever heard of.
And the troubling part is we just sat through federal court last week and wanting the hard drives so that we can take these tapes and analyze them for ourselves. We understand that they're still in the hands, the originals are in the hands of U.S. Attorney Michael Moore. But they have been cloned and sent back to the superintendent's office. And it's just a game with this family, I might say, that they're withholding these hard drives. So we really, really are anticipating that ruling so we'd be able to get our hands and see exactly what the U.S. attorney is saying.
Mrs. Johnson, final comment.
2 years later, we still fighting and seeking for the truth about what happened to my son. That's all we ever asked for, was the truth about what happened to Kendrick Johnson.
We want to be able to tell our other kids exactly what happened to their brother. We can't continue to go on living our lives with us not being able to tell our other kids what exactly happened to their brother, because they want to know.
Ben Crump, 20 seconds. Anywhere from the U.S. Attorney where their investigation stands?
Only that they are targeting certain individuals, and they say sooner than later they're going to conclude the investigation.
All right, we certainly appreciate it. Thanks a lot. We'll certainly give our audience updates on this case as it becomes available. Thanks a bunch.
So you want the truth? Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Folks, if you've been to any of his shows, he'll tell you he's old school and new school. You name it, he's done it. He's been in the music business for a long, 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 long time. But he's still giving these young cats a run for their money and giving lots of hell. Folks, I'm not reading all that stuff y'all wrote. That's a waste of my time. He's simply known as Uncle Charlie Wilson. What up, baby? How you doing?
What up, Roland?
All good? All good? Man, glad to have you on the show. Glad to be back.
Thank
you. You on Washington Watch with me when I had my Sunday show.
That's right.
So now we're here. Last time we chatted, we were at Essence.
Yeah.
And so first of all, you got a new album, also touring. But so you and Kim?
Me, Joe, and Kim.
You, Joe, and Kim. Because I didn't know who was on the tour. So
yes.
My wife sent me a text yesterday saying, hey, they're here March 8th. And I text Kim. I said, hold up. You and Charlie Wilson together?
Yeah, that's...
Oh, man.
Yeah. If you don't take your wife or your girlfriend to this show, I got some gravy train. I got a big, big doghouse because you're definitely going to be in the doghouse. I got the food for you. You need to get up and go to this show because it's the show for all women to be at. You don't want to miss this show.
Well, but also for me, whoever women are, that's what I want to be too. So
yeah, that's right.
I'm good with that one. Yeah. Now I got to ask, I know you closing.
Yes.
Because the reason I'm saying, y'all, I'm telling y'all, I have talked to numerous artists. Don't nobody want to follow Charlie Wilson.
That's a shame. It's not really like that.
Come on now, you know better. Nobody wants to follow you. After you leave it like, man, I can't go out there and do this.
I'm just having fun, Roland. That's all it is. You know, it's always been very up-tempo for me. And some lady said, Charlie Wilson, I got tired watching you. I was just tired. I said, baby, you need to exercise then. You don't need to come to my show with them high heel pumps on and you can't do no dancing. You're going to have to wear them flats. And
it is about having a good time. And what I appreciate, and look, I've seen your show I don't know how many times, and I will be there March 8th as well. You make this point even within the show that you got old hits,
yes,
and you got new hits,
yeah,
and that's really a lesson for a lot of cats coming up.
Yeah.
Longevity matters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the most fun that I have when you can take people back from when they grew up listening to that music, and then you can also play your own number one records, which I have 9 of. So it's like it's a sweet, sweet. I'm so happy that I have my own records, because when we first started going out on the road as Charlie Wilson by myself, everybody was like, is he going to play some Gap Band records? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to play some Gap Band records. That's where I come from, you know. So,
yeah, I'm not going to run away from that,
but that's how it all began. It was like, well, what is he going to sing and all this? And so as my number one started stacking up, it became easier for talent bookers, and everybody was like, wow, man, this dude is very energetic, and he's got catalogs. I'm building a catalog of my own now. It's like, you know.
So. But see, when you came back, though, after you hit rock bottom.
Yes.
You talk about your substance abuse in your show.
Yes.
And we discussed this before. It's a whole bunch of cats you knew who didn't want to even talk to you. They said, man, you can't compete today. They told you that.
Yeah, they just, you know, basically was trying to tell me to just go and retire. That used to hurt so much because they didn't know the energy level, the energy that I had bottled up inside of me. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, I am so not ready to retire. You just don't know. You just give me the microphone and about 50 feet of stage, and I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
When you think back to that moment, that period you were in, mm-hmm. and you credit your wife for getting you through this process.
Yeah. She's the one who stuck by my side, still is. She told me the first time after I was kind of engaged to her, she said, I'll be with you no matter what. I'll stand by you. And no other girlfriend that I ever had in my whole life ever said that she would stand by me no matter what. So those words packed a big punch for me. I was like, whoo, I need somebody to stand by me no matter what. Because right now, in my early stage of recovery, I was kind of wacko crazy still. And she was willing to put up with all of that until I got stable-minded to finish a career that I really wanted to do. And everybody was like, dude, you need to retire and go on home. I was like, no, you need to shut up and lose some weight and get away from me. Because you're fat and out of shape. Yeah, I mean, I was having those kind of conversations with people. And notice, Roland, that everybody that told me that it wouldn't work for me, they're not in the music business today and they don't have a job musically, but they're the first ones to come and give me a hug and don't know that I know they're the ones that could have helped me and didn't help me.
Right. See, I'm like you. It's like I might forgive, but I don't forget.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. I just remember. I remember.
Right.
It's all good.
But you got a new album out.
Forever Charlie.
Forever Charlie.
Yeah. I've been around forever. I've been around forever, and I'm going to be around forever. I'm going to be forever Charlie.
How old are you, Charlie?
Huh?
How old are you?
I done lied so much, I forgot it myself. I'm a young man.
There you go.
I'm a young man. I'm 32 years old. I'm young.
Y'all know he lied.
I'm a young man. You can't beat me, baby. I'm young.
Now, we got a cut from the album. Go ahead and play it. Oh, you don't have the cut? They told me. Oh, they say, well, you're not going to play it. Charlie going to sing it.
Uh-uh. Who said that?
That's what they're telling me right now. What's the name of the song?
Y'all got the wrong show. Y'all need to be here in March.
Good Night Kisses?
Oh, yeah, but you should be have that. You should have that.
I know. That's why. I know.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, baby. I love your good night kisses. I love your good night kisses.
Work it out, Charlie. Okay, I got you this here real quick. Show this photo, Shelly. Go to my phone. This was a photo from 2 years ago, Essence Music Fest.
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all what happened. It's a true story. So we're backstage, and so Trey Songz said, Roland, Uncle Charlie, man, y'all clean. And Charlie said, young man, let me tell you something. He said, these are grown people at Essence. He said, don't you come out here next time
never
in jeans and a t-shirt.
That's what I told him.
He said, you better put some clothes on. The next year.
He was suited up.
He came out tuxedo. And I went backstage. Yeah. I said, man, you were clean. He said, I didn't forget that conversation backstage with Uncle Charlie and you were right there.
Absolutely. I told him, don't let me ever catch you with some jeans and tennis shoes and like a rapper. You're a singer. You're going to be that next crooner. You need to wear a suit. Now, if you want to take off your shirt, peel it one layer at a time. First, the bow tie.
Right.
Then your coat.
And that's what he did.
Yep, that's what he did.
But your point was, don't walk out there in tennis shoes and jeans.
No, that ain't how you supposed to get to women. Women ain't going for that.
Because also, when the women get older, and they're going to have more money, they're going to pay more money for those tickets.
That's right.
See, they pay more money to see you walk out in a tux than see you walk out in jeans.
Absolutely.
Ain't nobody paying for $100. Like, I ain't paying for you to walk out in them damn jeans.
I ain't paying you no $150 on $89, $90 for no ticket, and you got on some, your pants are sagging. No.
That's why you always clean. But look, folks, the tour dates, tour starts when?
February
12th, right there, Cleveland, Ohio, Buffalo, Atlantic City, Royal Farms in Baltimore, February 15th, PNC Arena, Raleigh, North Carolina, February 18th. So, folks, y'all want to go see Uncle Charlie? He's coming to Nashville, Atlanta, Birmingham, Greenville, South Carolina, Louisville, Kentucky, you name it. Yeah. Uncle Charlie, stay right there because Gerald Albright's coming out.
Oh, here. My God.
You know, I'm going to talk to him about his new CD.
Oh, yeah.
And you can ask him some questions,
too. Yes, okay. All right.
So, when we come back, Gerald Albright, my alpha brother.
Oh.
Your brother's an alpha.
Yeah,
I know.
Alpha.
Right here on News One Now TV.
Your centerpiece for black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks. You play watch basketball and the cat come down and he do a 360, just nasty. Well, we just got a nasty show. Uncle Charlie's still with us hanging around. And now I got my man Gerald Albright out here, saxophonist extraordinaire. He has his 23rd album out. It is called Slam Dunk, nominated for a Grammy, his 8th Grammy nomination to be exact. Brother, how you doing?
I'm good, Roland. How you doing?
Man, good to see you. My fellow Alpha brother here.
Yes, sir.
He's in town, Charlie. He texts me, he said, man, I'm here. You coming to the show? I was like, coming to your show when you coming to my show?
What is he? I'm on my way?
That's right. So we worked it out. So, Doc, how you doing?
I'm great, man. It's good to be back in D.C., and it's great to see you. Great to be here with Uncle Charlie, too.
Yeah,
we haven't seen each other in a long time.
Long time.
So got 23rd album?
Well, actually, it's the 17th.
17. Yeah. But you played on others.
Oh, many.
Yeah, absolutely. Because still, the CD, the song you did with Will Downing, that's still, he did this song called Just to Be With You.
Oh.
I call it the perfect convertible song.
Oh, my God.
You know, you got the breeze going. Oh. It's just smooth. Just chilling. I'm telling you, it's all that.
Oh, exactly.
Not, thank you. When Will was on the show, I told Will, I said, it wasn't you.
Yeah.
I said, it was really Gerald, the saxophone. Yeah. I said, because, you know, he's the frat brother. Will was like, are you going to do me like that?
You're going to do me like that. Dog me out. 8 Will, by 8.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
What is it about the saxophone that just makes folks go crazy? Out of all the instruments, and I'm still mad because I wanted to play sax. B.B. King, who'll play sax on his song "Take Me Home" off his off his album. Mm-hmm. I procrastinated in junior high, did not go to the doggone band and sign up, and they were out of them. I had to play the bass baritone horn. That ain't quite as sexy.
That's not as cool.
No. It ain't cool. I was good. But it ain't as cool. No, but what is about the sax, man, that just makes folks go crazy?
Well, saxophone is sexy, Roland, and it's the closest to the human voice. And I think we can express in a real sexy way through the saxophone. You know, you can almost hear the words coming out of it, even though it's just a melody, you know.
Now, speaking of that voice, though, but you see, you play the harmonica.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've been working on it, you know. I had talked to Stevie Wonder one time about, you know, which one to get, and he kind of was laughing, so I just ordered one I seen him on the picture with, and then when I blow it, he's, what's that you blowing on? And then I didn't answer him, act like I didn't hear him, I was just blowing. I just act like I didn't hear him, just kept on blowing.
Right.
But, I got a chance to fool around with it. He says, and I was in his dressing room one day. He's like, you're blowing too hard. Relax. I breathe into it. I said, what do you think I'm doing? I'm out of breath. He says, the reason why you're out of breath is because you was blowing too hard. But I just want to ask him this question. Man,
yes.
the alto I see you have. It's the tone. Reason why he says it's because it's a tone that he has. It's that tone that he got. Everybody don't get that tone. You can play any sound, reed instrument, but if you don't have the tone, then you ain't getting what you need to get out that instrument. Now, what's your favorite reed instrument? Is it the alto or the tenor or
soprano?
Definitely the alto. I'm known for alto, but I love all the horns.
Yes.
And however a song speaks to me, that's when I determine which horn to play. So I play soprano, alto, tenor, even baritone sax, which is the big boy.
Yeah.
You know. But this is where my heart is, the alto.
Yeah. When did you start playing?
I started when I was 9 years old, which wasn't that long ago, by the way.
Yeah, you and
Donna,
right.
That's about it.
Y'all lost y'all Donna's life, right?
Just keep lying about
me. I'm the only one out here
admitting
I'm 46.
Oh, Roland, you what?
46.
Oh, my God. I could have swore you was about 34.
Now, I'll go in that minute. Now, if I stop breathing, we got a problem.
You got a problem.
Well, I'm the poster boy for AARP, so I'm just that guy.
You're just that guy, yeah.
50 plus.
At 9 years old.
Yeah, 9 years old.
Was it a school band? Was it at church? What was it?
Actually, I owe that to George Turpo, who was my very first private teacher. And he was also the choir director in the church, Beulah Baptist, Los Angeles, California.
Gotta get a church
shout
out.
But he doubled as a saxophone teacher. And I started out on piano and didn't like piano at the age of 8. So after not being prepared every week for my lesson, he said to my parents, we need to do something else with Gerald. And unannounced, he brought this old saxophone to the next lesson. And that changed my life, man.
Who was Gerald Albright's favorite sax player?
Oh, my God. Started out with Maceo Parker from the James Brown Band.
Oh, the funk master.
Maceo!
Hit me! And then I was introduced in high school to Cannonball Adderley. Oh, and that took things to a whole nother level.
Mercy.
So if I had to describe my sound, it's a blend between those two guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What it's in terms of your partnerships, it's all interesting when you with vocalists. You and Will do amazing work. Anybody else who you just connect with when y'all get together and play?
Wow, a lot of folks. Well, instrumentally, I would say Norman Brown. And a few years ago, we put a record together called 24/7, which was also nominated for a Grammy.
All right.
But I think that if Luther was still here, that would be a wish list vocalist for me.
Well, some folks, they've been tweeting me. They say, man, we would love to hear Gerald. Well, guess what? When we come back, you're going to hear Gerald. And something tell me when Gerald playing, Charlie might just start just saying something. We'll see. We're back on News One Now. Uncle Charlie Wilson, Gerald Albright, right here, only on TV One.
Wherever you are, we are. Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Yo, folks, this is a true story. So I remember when I was on CNN, Charlie Wilson, I got this text. Man, that was a great point you just made. But the tie you got on, I got to get that tie.
Nah, you had.
All right, so don't think he don't watch the show, because in fact, he's going to end. He says something. Y'all know how I end the show. He came in saying that, which means, okay, I know you're watching the show. But right now, we got a little something special for you. Of course, Gerald Albright, he's in town in D.C. through Sunday. Performing where?
At Blues Alley.
At Blues Alley. I'm going to see him Sunday night. But you got a little something for us. So go ahead and do your thing.
You got it. This is the title track, Slam Dunk.
This is the title track to the CD, Slam Dunk.
And move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.